houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Should we look at this portion of Scripture this morning? Primarily has to do with John the Baptist. So the first thing we want to note is given his character. The character of John, which we have in verses 7 through 9. It starts out in verse 7, and as they departed, that is, the disciples of John, as they departed from Jesus, they left questioning Jesus, having received their answer. Remember their question? Are you the one? Or do we look for another? And Jesus answered them. And so having received their answer, they were returning to John to give an account of the things which they had seen and the things which they had heard. Then Jesus, upon their departure, turns to the multitudes, and he begins to speak about John the Baptist. Things concerning his character and his ministry. While commending John, we might say, he was commending John and his character and his ministry. While commending John, Jesus confirmed his own messiahship, that he had come, the anointed of God. And he begins with, what went you out into the wilderness to see? What went ye out in the wilderness to see? Did John go out into the wilderness? Was John in the wilderness? Did those multitudes go out into the wilderness? Well, this has direct reference to the passage in Matthew chapter 3 that we dealt with several months ago. And John, beginning his ministry, came forth in the wilderness of Judea, preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus asked them that question, but then he immediately goes to pointing to John's character. He said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? A reed shaken in the wind? Did you go out to see a man who was unstable? One who was changeable with every wind of doctrine, we might say. As a reed. A reed is hollow on the inside, and you see them swaying in the wind. They're moving all about in the wind. Did you go as a reed blown in the wind? Is that what you went out to see? A man who was unstable? Well, you may have thought you were, but what did you find? You found him to be firm. Firm in his doctrine. Firm in his preaching. Firm in his manner of life. He stood fast. He stood fast by who he was. Minister of God. He stood fast by that which he preached. He wavered not from it. Which was the reason for his imprisonment? The fact that he was in prison. Remember, this chapter started out, John's in prison. And he sends two of his disciples to Jesus to ask him that question. So this is the reason John's in prison. In fact, the third chapter, in verse 7, shows us somewhat of the stability of John. When the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to him, in verse 7 said, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath of God to come? You see, they hadn't been there. They hadn't heard John's preaching of repentance because judgment is coming. They hadn't heard that. They just were excited with the baptism, and all they wanted was to be baptized. Like everybody else was doing. The only thing is, everybody else that was being baptized had repented of their sins because they'd been there and they'd heard the preaching of John. And they came under Holy Spirit conviction of their sins, which was manifested by the fact that they were being baptized confessing their sins. The chapter 14 of Matthew, verse 4, gives us another instance. Remember Herod, the one who had John beheaded? You remember why Herod had imprisoned John to begin with? Because Herod had his brother's wife, his brother Philip's wife. Matthew 14 and 4 makes it plain that that's why that Herodias, Herod's wife, who was had been his brother's wife, didn't like John because of that, and influenced Herod to have him imprisoned. Didn't matter to John. He didn't hesitate to tell Herod the truth. You need to repent of this, Herod. It's a sin. It's against the law of God. John had made it plain. In the first chapter of the book of John, he made it plain that he was not the Messiah. He was the forerunner. His testimony and manner of life was always consistent with who he was. As is evidenced in the third chapter and the 14th chapter, which we gave to you as examples. He continued that manner of life. And Jesus poses a second question to him. Not only a reed shaken in the wind, well, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? As you would expect to find a man clothed in soft raiment in the wilderness, would you? That would be kind of a precarious place to find a man finely dressed, clothed. A man clothed in fine wool and cotton and silk. This kind of man you would find in the king's court. Not in the wilderness. Surely you would not expect to find him in such clothing in the wilderness. No. What you found, you found John. You found John clothed in not fine clothing, not in soft raiment, soft clothing, but in camel's hair and a leathern girdle. And not only that, he came eating locusts and wild honey. Now John was not one given to the fancies of life. He was not one given to the finer things of life, we would say. No, he lived a rather meager existence. He had a job to do. He had a task. Brother Ron, he had a task. And that's what he came to do. He didn't come to be filled with the niceties of the world. He came to preach and to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
See, those who are finely arrayed in fine apparel and gorgeous apparel live luxurious. They live in king's houses. Shall we say? We have a lot of kings in this country. A lot of men living in their houses, and they're their king. The Lord Jesus Christ is not king of their life. He's not, as we sang that song, crown him with many crowns. He's not crowned Lord of their life. And he asked him a third question. All right. Did you expect to find a reed shaken with him in the wind? Did you expect to find a man clothed in fine apparel? How about a prophet? When you went out, did you expect to find a prophet? Was it to see a prophet? Did you expect to find a prophet? A prophet you found. He answered the question. He said, you found a prophet. And they believed him to be a prophet. As we'll see later. They found a prophet. Herod. Herod was afraid. Herod was afraid to put him to death. And the Pharisees were hesitant to speak against his baptism. Because John the Baptist was a prophet. Turn with me to the 14th chapter of Matthew. The 14th chapter in verse 5. And we read, and when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. You see, he was afraid of the multitude, and therefore he didn't put him to death immediately. And we find later on he had him beheaded because he loved his wife, Herodias, for her sake. And he made a foolish promise to give her daughter anything she requested. And Herodias' daughter goes to her mother, Herodias, and says, What shall I ask of him? She said, John the Baptist's head. Yeah. Well, that's not part of the lesson this month. Look at the 21st chapter of Matthew. The 21st chapter, verse 26. Verse 25 says, Jesus says this. He says, the baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, those Pharisees reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. Yeah, all the people that knew John, they held him as a prophet. So the Pharisees couldn't speak against his baptism because they feared the people, because they counted him as a prophet. Herod couldn't put him to death right away because he feared the multitudes, because they counted him as a prophet. Jesus said, yes, you went out to see a prophet, and a prophet you saw. But he said, I say, he's more than a prophet. More than a prophet. You saw not only a prophet, but one that was more superior than any before him. Those before John prophesied of the coming one from a distance. And their revelation of him was, well, not quite so clear, we might say. They prophesied him as one who was to come. Who was to come. But John pointed him out. He introduced him. He declared that he has come. Behold, the Lamb of God was taken away to sin of the world. I saw a spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, descending upon him like a dove, attesting to the fact, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the Son of God. Yes. He has come. He's here. Now, in fact, before John gets to that in his recollection and his testimony of it, in John the first chapter, he says, he's among you now. He said to that people in the first chapter of the book of John. Well, verses 10 to 14, he goes on with a prophecy concerning John. He was more superior than the prophets before, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. It's a quote from the Old Testament. It's a quote of the prophecy of the Old Testament in the book of Malachi in chapter 3 and verse 1. In fact, it's almost word for word. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. He, John, was the messenger sent by God before 6 weeks, 6 months before the Messiah, before the Lord Jesus Christ. And he prepared the way of the Messiah. He prepared the way of the Lord, preaching the doctrine of repentance, baptizing, pointing at the Messiah, and exhorting men to believe on him. That was his message. Amen. Believe on him. Repent of your sins. Judgment is coming. Repent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This is he. He said, Jesus goes on to say, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. In verse 11. Think about that. Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Of all the prophets, this is reference to what he said previously. Of all the prophets that have been since the beginning, including Moses, there had not been raised up by God a greater than John the Baptist.
Well, that was going to throw the people in a dizzy, huh? Because they counted Moses a great prophet. We would say that Moses was a great prophet. We know what it said about Moses. There was not a meeker man that lived upon the earth. Moses was a very meek man. Humble, lowly. Besought the face of God many times on behalf of his people Israel. Stood in the gap. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Was he not? Remember when he leaped within the womb of his mother Elizabeth? At the presence of Mary, who was with child of the Holy Ghost, that child which was in her womb was Jesus. His life was a pattern. We almost might say it was an exemplar for all of us to follow. As he was obedient to the commands of the Lord. He was obedient to his mission. He was obedient to that for which God had sent him for. His doctrine was sound. It was straight from heaven. It was of God. It was introducing the Savior, the Messiah. He was the first administrator of baptism with authority. With authority. He had authority from God. No higher. No higher authority. I asked this morning, does the Grace Baptist Church
have authority from God? Does all churches have authority from God to baptize and to administer baptism? Well, obviously, you believe and I believe that Grace Baptist Church does have authority from God. As we see in the New Testament, a pattern of the Lord's kind of church, and we see ourselves as that pattern, as that kind of church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom He gave authority to baptize those that were saved. And that authority was passed on. That authority was extended to the 12 Ryan Baptist Church. And the 12 Ryan Baptist Church of Warren, Michigan, conveyed that authority onto the Grace Baptist Church of Melbourne, Florida. And so on and on it goes. But the authority is in God. That's why we baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It's in the authority of the Godhead. And as He gives us authority to administer the rite of baptism. But He gave notice. He gave notice of the arrival of the Messiah. Jesus goes on to say, He made that great statement, there's none arisen among women greater than John, notwithstanding. Notwithstanding. Well, we don't talk much that way today, do we? We would say, moreover. Well, we don't even talk so much that way today. We say, but, or for, rather than notwithstanding or moreover. But, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. There is not arisen among women one greater than John the Baptist, but he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Wow. Isn't that something? That is really a statement. Christ did not speak this concerning himself, as many think that Christ was portraying himself in this. I don't believe it was. For as we've already pointed out, John the Baptist lived a meager life as a man, and so did the Lord Jesus Christ during his earthly ministry as a man. He lived a meager life. He wouldn't say that he was least than John the Baptist. He would have been on the same plane as John the Baptist. So what was Jesus have reverence here? He had reverence to his apostles, and maybe he even, looking at them, went like this. But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven. He had reverence to his apostles, the foundation of his church. The least of them. The least. The faithful to carry out the mission of his church. They will be his bride. They will be his bride. Is John the Baptist going to be in the bride? No. John the Baptist not be in the bride. So the faithful of the Lord's apostles and church are going to be the bride. They're going to be greater than John. You see, John had this in view. I believe John full well had this in view. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 29, I believe we read this verse last week. But in verse 29, said John answering his disciples, he said, "He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom," and there are many friends of the bridegroom. They're not the bridegroom and they're not the bride. It's distinguished here in this verse.
Yes, it is. Amen.
They're not the bride and they're not the bridegroom, but they're friends. The bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly. John said, "I'm just a friend of the bridegroom. I'm not the bride. I'm not the bridegroom. I'm just merely a friend. But I rejoice. I rejoice at the sight of Jesus coming. I rejoice at the sound of his voice. I rejoice that he's here. Because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." Then he says, verse 12, he goes on to say, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence." Huh. Wow. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. From the time that John came preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of the gospel, all synonymous terms, came upon the souls of men with great power of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, upon the hearts of men. With great force, great power upon them, quickening men dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2:1. "And you have been quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And we, in John 6 and verse 63, tells us it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The Spirit of God is the one that makes alive. He's the one that raises from the dead those men dead in trespasses and sins. Enlightening the eyes of the blind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 tells us that, "But God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, to give us light in the heart, to lighten the heart, to enlighten the heart." I mean, he gave us light to see and enlighten the heart, to see the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He causes the deaf to hear. He causes the blind to see, and he causes the deaf to hear. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah quickly. The book of Isaiah, chapter 35. Isaiah 35 and in verse 5. "Then the eyes of the blind," well, verse 4 says, "he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." That's the work and power of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And he'll use the word. He'll use the word, and that word breaks up the stony heart. It breaks up that heart of rock, that heart of stone. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 29 tells us, "Is not my word like a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?" Oh, that old stony heart, he takes his word, and the Holy Spirit takes that word, and he breaks up that old stony, rocky heart and breaks it up in pieces.
Amen.
And he removes it. And Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 26 tells us, and he gives us a heart of flesh. He takes away that stony heart. And he gives us a heart of flesh, a heart that is soft and pliable, that God makes and molds and fashions after him. You see. Turning them from the power of Satan unto God, which is what Paul testified of in the book of Acts in chapter 26 and verse 18. He said that was his ministry, to go and preach the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation through him, to turn their hearts from Satan unto God. Praise God. And he said, and the violent take it by force. Yes, those violent and wicked sinners upon whom the kingdom of the gospel has come. It has come upon them with great power and demonstration. The gospel being proclaimed to them. A declaration, a manifestation of God's love for us sinners. A proclamation of peace and pardon. A proclamation of righteousness and everlasting life. Oh, they willingly, they gladly lay hold of it. Oh, I remember that day just as vivid as if it were today, as if it had happened this morning. The day that the power of God came upon me in great force. And I willingly laid hold of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And truth as it is in him. Praise God. He said, for all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. This is just more, giving more credence of John and who he was. All the law and the prophets prophesied until John. Until John's coming. Turn with me to the book of Luke in chapter 16. Jesus later on says this to his disciples in Luke 16 and verse 16. He said, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached. You see, John came preaching the kingdom of God is preached. And every man presseth into it. Or comes into it by force. By strength. It's by the power and strength of Almighty God. They don't press into it of their own free will. Only God makes them willing. And then they come.
Amen.
You see? This is further proof of John's being greater than the prophets before him. John declares him to have come. They only prophesied that he was to come, but John looked at him, pointed at him, said, behold, he's here. He's here. The Lamb of God, the Son of God, is here. And he said in verse 14, if you will receive it, If you will believe, will you believe? He said, this John is that Elias. This John is the one prophesied of. The one prophesied of in the book of Malachi in chapter 4. Malachi chapter 4. In verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Well, the Jews, you can imagine, got all excited at that because this was their doctrine. This was something they believed. They believed that Elijah was personally going to come, bodily going to come. Or at least one in the spirit of Elijah. Well, come on, whom John was. John was. You see, John had testified that he was not the Christ. John chapter 1, verse 21, he said, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. He said, I'm not that Elias. I'm not Elijah. He said, in fact, I'm not even that prophet. That prophet they had reference to there was Jeremiah. Because many of the Jews believed that Jeremiah was going to bodily come forth and prophesy amongst them. He said, I'm not even him. What Jesus is testifying to here is that John is that Elias, that one who was prophesied, the one who was, well, as the angel told Zacharias, remember what the angel told Zacharias? You know who Zacharias was? Zacharias was John the Baptist's father. This was before John was even conceived. The angel came to Zacharias and told him that your wife, Elizabeth, is going to bring forth a son. And said in chapter 1 of Luke in verse 17, he said, and he shall go before the Lord. He shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. In the spirit and power of Elijah. He won't be the man Elijah, but he'll be in the spirit and power of Elijah. In other words, he'll be endowed with the power of God.
Amen.
From on high. And John the Baptist's ministry was from God. And he had the words of God in which he preached. The ministry from God. The right, the authority to baptize. The same power that rested upon Elijah was upon John. And then verse 15. Basically, the label of this point is great importance. This is great importance, he said. What I've told you is of great importance. This is... Do you have ears to hear? Do you have ears to hear? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Why? Because it's of importance. This is the manner in which Jesus... delivered anything of great importance, and he would always follow it up with, he that hath ears to hear. He that is endowed with the faculty of hearing. Hear this. He that is endowed with the faculty of hearing, hear this. Hear what I said unto you. Have you gotten what he said? Have you heard? Do you have ears to hear? Are you endowed with the faculty of hearing? Have you heard what Jesus said in the message this morning? Have you perceived where the great importance lies? Have you? Have you heard? Have you heard the message of Jesus Christ? You see, this message this morning wasn't about John the Baptist. This exposition
that Jesus gives of John was not about John the Baptist. It was about the message that John preached, the ministry that John had from God. And he preached the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And the need for men and women to repent of their sins. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Shall we stand and have a song?